Blog Talk Radio.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and seekers of the truth. This is the 465th edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria. And regardless of who you are, I know one thing that we all have in common. We all want to know the truth about what's really going on in this crazy year called 2020. So welcome to the 465th edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria. You know, to be honest, folks, it just seems like I can't shut this music off. Shut up! There we go. That's better. Anyways, it does seem like what Micah 7, verses 2 and 3 says, which essentially is that there's not an honest person left in the land, or at least that's what it seems like. No one loyal to God. Everyone's waiting for a chance to murder, to kill, steal, and destroy. You know, people are hunting down their own. They are. And they're cooperating to break the law. Look at all the stuff that's going on. Judges and leaders, they're bribed. And our rulers, they cheat in the courts. We joke around about them having Teflon coats, but it's sick. Now, doesn't that scenario from Micah written so long ago sound just like today? Like we were just covering the news from last week? Like it's all unfolding in the year 2020? Well, I hope you stay tuned to learn about what it means to be convicted as we build upon what we learned last week about being sober-minded and hating certain things. Yes, hating certain things. So what's really going on in this scamdemic? You know, I love this too. Mostly peaceful protests. They're popping up all around the country and they don't have anything, as you'll see, to do with health. Or the health of people under arrest by law enforcement. So just stay tuned as we dive deeper and deeper in America's new 9/11 events, which are unfolding in slow motion and on steroids. They truly are, folks. But remember, it all started with the lab-engineered, media-manipulated coronavirus heist, as I like to call it. But what I'd like to do right now, folks, is Kathy's Freaky Deaky News Update. And starting the news off will be our coronavirus update. So there's these red flags popping up all over the place concerning these vaccines and Big Pharma's exemptions from liability claims against themselves for negligence, rush to market. Zero Hedge reports that Reuters, however you say the news agency, is reporting that AstraZeneca, this is the second largest pharmaceutical drug maker in Great Britain, has just been granted immunity from all legal action from the damaging side effects of COVID-19 vaccines. Hold on, it's better yet in the good old U.S. of A. with the Food and Drug Administration. Do you know what's going on there? I don't know if you do or not, folks. This is a bribed institution, and that's where that word bribe comes in. Bribed by the Big Pharma. And then this institution that Bill Gates, as you'll hear in a minute or two, calls the gold standard in regulation and safety. Yeah, the gold standard in regulation and safety. After we have so many demonstrable... Okay, folks, it's... Yeah, that's what Bill Gates called it. Yeah, calm down. It's okay. We'll be all right, folks. That's what Bill Gates calls it. The gold standard of regulation and safety. Now, they already have a law they've pushed through Congress by all of their special interests, their lobbyists, which are big pharma, and that's where the bribes come in. It's called the Public Readiness and Emergency Preparedness Act, or PREPT Act. Okay. Oh, and by the way, did you know that last fall, and thank you, Carol, there are people that are passing this information on. Last fall, there was an article published that President Trump just passed an executive order expediting flu vaccine development. It's almost as if he knew the event 201 and all this other craziness was going to happen in the year 2020. But like I said, the Fed through the FDA already has this immunity in place for U.S. big pharma. So with all these companies around the world rushing to get COVID-19 vaccines to market in warp speed, as President Trump says, that'll be administered how? How in the United States? By the powerful army, the military, who has all the logistics in place. But what do we need the military to do this for? Why? This is suggesting something. Either the government and the drug companies don't have much confidence in this, and they're rushing it to market for more virtue signaling to get the consumers back to market, which I don't really believe. Or maybe it's something much worse, even more nefarious than that. These vaccines, as Celeste has been saying, and Sean, you've been asking me to dig into it. I am, and I'm going to do my best to get some more information out on this. But anyways, Celeste is saying that this is a genetically engineered process to modify humanity. But whatever the issue, it's a major red flag because of how the governments are allowing big pharma to rush these experimental vaccines of the three-stage clinical trial process, which takes typically 5 years, folks. They're going to rush it to market in less than a year. I'm concerned they think something can go terribly wrong. And you're going to hear this. You know, Moderna COVID-19 vaccine is causing all sorts of side effects. More than half the participants on the first shot, 100% on the second shot. This is in a report out of justthenews.com. And it's reporting that these things are happening in very small doses, 250 microgram doses, microgram doses. Okay. And this is being reported in the New England Journal of Medicine. And no trial-limiting safety concerns were identified after this has been reported. You know, fever, joint pain, nausea, side effects more common in multiple injections or larger injections. And systemic adverse effects were more common after the second and the higher doses. These are very low doses with some very significant eyebrow-raising type effects. And, you know, these aren't the normal vaccines, folks. These contain mutagenic agents, and a mutagen, by its very nature, is a cancer. So it's controlled cancer. That's what a mutagen is, folks. And then what about these nanoparticles and the graphene? All the stuff that Celeste is talking about. There are papers out there on that. What are they in there for? What do they do in terms of the mutagenic effect of this vaccine? Well, these are things that I hope to have investigated over the next several weeks, and perhaps I'll be able to talk about it in more detail soon. I'm not sure, but Lord willing, that's my goal. So have you been seeing all these appearances over the last week or so of Bill Gates? He's starting to take some heat now because of these reports coming out about the side effects. I'd like to play this next clip. It was an interview on CBS News, and listen to the game of dodge the question that old Billy Gates is playing with the interviewer concerning side effects. It's about a 2-minute clip.
You mentioned side effects. The side effects for the Moderna vaccine sound concerning. We looked, After the second dose, at least 80% of participants experienced a systemic side effect, ranging from severe chills to fevers. So, are these vaccines safe?
Well, the FDA, not being pressured, will look hard at that. The FDA is the gold standard of regulators, and their current guidance on this, if they stick with that, is very, very appropriate. And, you know, the side effects were not super severe. That is, it didn't cause permanent health problems for the things there. They, you know, Moderna did have to go with a fairly high dose. And so, you know, to get the antibodies, some of the other vaccines are going able to go with lower doses to get responses that are pretty high, including the J&J and the Pfizer. And so there's a lot of characteristics of these vaccines. It's great that we have multiple of them that
but
are
Bill,
going out there. And yes, I
you,
think
you know the data
the
better than I do. But the Bill, the data showed that everybody with a high dose had a side effect.
Yeah, but some of that is not dramatic, where, you know, it's just, you know, super painful. But yes, there we need to make sure there's not severe side effects. The FDA, I think will do a good job of that, despite the pressure.
How many doses of the vaccine will we need?
Well, none of the vaccines at this point appear like they'll work with a single dose. That was the hope at the very beginning. Maybe one of them, particularly in the second generation, will surprise us. We hope just two, although in the elderly, sometimes it takes more. And so making sure we have lots of elderly people in the trial will give us that data.
No, I shut him off there because he just rambles and rambles and rambles. But the answer to his question, the question that she asked him was 7 billion doses. That's with a B, folks, 7 billion doses. Did you hear some of the things he said? Not super severe. No permanent side effects. Well, how can you know that if you just administered it a few weeks ago? Folks, we got to think, like Carol says, people are not thinking super severe. And then he finishes that little segment I played with, not super painful. Hey, that's a new technical word. Super. You know, I've never seen that in a technical paper before, yet I hear him saying it over and over. And again, if you look at the wild waving of his arms and he just like articulates, if you haven't seen it yet, folks, please view it. He doesn't look like a man of conviction, which we're going to get into. He looks like a deranged psychopath who's becoming unhinged. In fact, he is. In another interview recently, he slanders all of us out here who question not only the safety, but the efficacy of this stuff being rushed to market, as President Trump says, in warp speed. These mutagenic side effects, these not so super severe things. What's going on? Listen to Gates become unhinged. And what about what's going on Twitter now? But just listen to this. Another interview recently with Bill Gates.
Well, definitely when you let people communicate, you have to deal with the fact that certain incorrect things that are very titillating can spread very rapidly compared to the truth. And we've always seen that with vaccines. Any negative thing gets out to people. And the, you know, the facts about no, you know, it's safe, it doesn't cause autism, that travels very slowly by comparison. And social media can make that even worse. And so the degree to which these media companies can see what's being said on their platform and take things that are absolutely wrong and get rid of those things or slow those things down, that's very tough, because as you move over into political speech or a valid discussion about the safety issues, how you divide that, draw that line, you know, do you have that visibility? These are complex issues. And You know, it has been a spreader of lots of negative things, and you know, how do you strike a balance there? It's
it's crazy. Let me finish his sentence where I cut him off. You know, have you heard the latest? Twitter has banned all BitChute links and all links to Dr. Mercola websites. And then Gates says in that clip I just played, take things down that are absolutely wrong. Folks, some of the stuff they're taking down is documented fact. It just goes against the narrative of the establishment. So this guy's becoming unhinged. And did you ever notice what snakes do when they're cornered? Well, they coil up as they prepare to strike or lunge. And I'm going to have another segment here. I got to get a clip for it, but it's going to be called Ken's Corner. And what I'd like to do is just take little stories about what happened over the last week in my life, because, yeah, I have a life just like we all do, and it's been very strange this year, folks. But this week, walking over to the shop to pick up a tool, I'm still working on the revamp for our, which I don't even know why we have, our television system. But it's going to be streaming. I do like watching the History Channel, and I do enjoy some of those shows. It's my only bit of relaxation, folks. But anyways, I'm walking over to the shop to get a drill, and I see what looks like a stick on the driveway, the paved portion of the driveway. And I get up to it. It coils up and lunges at me. And I'm looking at it. I'm thinking, this isn't a black snake. This isn't a big garter snake. And I'm looking at it, and its tail's rattling. I start getting some pictures of it, and it's coiling up and lunging at me like a snake that's been cornered. You know what it was? A juvenile timber rattler in my driveway in western PA, a little too far south and a little too far west for its native habitat. Things are happening now, folks. Strange things are happening. I had a timber rattler, a juvenile timber rattler, in my driveway. And I have pictures of it, coiled up and lunging at me. And I have a video, poised to strike. And that's exactly what Billy Boy Gates is doing right now. And in this next clip, he says we have no choice concerning the vaccine. Listen to this, about a minute and 50 second clip.
And what about that trade-off? You just mentioned, obviously, the economic pain. What do you think the right balance is between the trade-off of protecting people's lives and the economic hit? I mean, do you see a situation where the global economy could be virtually at a standstill for a year or even more?
Well, it won't go to zero, but it will shrink. Global GDP is going to take, probably the biggest hit ever. You know, maybe the Depression was worse, or 1873. I don't know. But in my lifetime, this will be the greatest economic hit. But you don't have a choice. People act like you have a choice. People don't feel like going to the stadium when they might get infected. You know, it's not the government who's saying, okay, just ignore this disease. And, you know, people are deeply affected by seeing these deaths, by knowing they could be part of the transmission chain, and you know, old people, their parents, their grandparents could be affected by this. And so you don't get to say, ignore what's going on here. There will be the ability, particularly in rich countries, to open up if things are done well over the next few months. But for the world at large, normalcy only returns when we've largely vaccinated the entire global population. And so, you know, although there's a lot of work on testing, a lot of work on drugs that we're involved with, you know, trying to achieve that ambitious goal, which has never been done for the vaccine, that rises to the top of the list.
You hear that? I'm blown away by this, folks. This is going to be the worst economic hit the world's ever seen since the Great Depression, or even maybe 1873. And he's grinning as he says this. Folks, he goes on and he says it's not the government, it's the people. The people who are deeply affected by all the deaths they're seeing. Folks, I haven't seen a single death. You know, remember those horrid videos we had of people collapsing in the subways over in Wuhan from the China virus, supposedly just shaking and convulsing? And then all the stories we have out of Elmhurst Hospital in New York City. Yet we have other videos claiming that there's nothing going on and the workers in there are doing the TikTok dance. Who's affecting us? Who's putting these mandates down? Who's closing the churches? The people? I don't think so. And then he goes on to talk about old people. Billy, that's you. Billy boy, you're old. And things, if things are well done, maybe some advanced countries can get their economies going, but things will not become normal again until the world, the globe, is vaccinated. This stuff's sick. I can go on and on, but let's move on, okay? It's time for Kabuki Theater.
COVID-19, George Floyd, Rice, BLM, police reform, the 2020 elections. All merely coincidence? I hardly think so. Folks, it's called Kabuki Theater in Japanese. Ka means solve, boo means dance. Ki means steal from the verb, kabu meaning to slam or display. Folks, it's all a lie. It's the flatten the curve. The curve of the economy, stupid, must slow down the velocity of money. Portal hyperinflate before we're done. Stealing it all, Trump, bad, must go. Good is bad, bad is good. Up is down, light is dark. It's all Kabuki Theater, folks. Prepping the masses for Agenda 2030 and the new world order. Just say no to it all and wake up before it's too late.
Yeah, please, folks, wake up. Let me explain Kabuki Theater to you. That was the latest one I'm doing. I'm working on a video for it. I have a correction. I said 250,000 views. We're tracking to 30,000 views on the first video. I was wrong. I apologize. Wishful thinking. Boy, wouldn't that be great. Anyways, Kabuki Theater is a Japanese art form. Now, the word ka means song, and the word bu, it means dance. So this is a song and dance routine. And ki is the word skill. And this all comes together from the verb kabu, which means to slant or to sway. And isn't that what's going on with our media today? Isn't this all kabuki theater? So what started is these mostly peaceful protests over the supposed death of George Floyd, hey, they have quickly spun out. And they're now nothing to do with this man who was supposedly murdered by the police. They're riots, folks, plain and simple. And no, folks, we do not have the right to riot. Contrary to what you're hearing on CNN and so many of the other pontificating, quote-unquote, news agencies, we do not have the right to riot. The First Amendment guarantees our right to peacefully assemble and redress Congress in a form of a petition with the grievances we may have. But the moment that turns violent, we've broken the law, folks. And this leads to all sorts of absurd demands when this is not nipped in the bud. There are so many groups out there now making so many crazy demands. Did you hear what the LA Teachers Union is now demanding before they'll go back to school? Mandatory face masks. I understand that in terms of the mitigation of a so-called invisible enemy. But a moratorium on charter schools and the defunding of police, what's any of that have to do with the virus? Seriously. What's it have to do? Anybody out there, do you know?
What? Are you serious? Are you serious? Can I have some more coffee?
Hey, was that Pastor Paul? Paul Begley. I didn't know I had your mic on. You listening in today, Paul? Oh, I better mute these mics. Give me a second here. Oh, boy. I didn't know that. Didn't know the mics were open. This is crazy. But anyways, that's Kabuki Theater, folks. And the LA Teachers Union is demanding these crazy things before they'll go back to teaching. So what's any of this have to do with the China virus? Well, here's their statement, and I'd like to read parts of it to you. Okay. The COVID-19 pandemic in the United States underscores the deep inequity and justice challenges arising from our profoundly racist, intensely unequal society. And then it continues, unlike other countries that recognize protecting lives is the key to protecting livelihoods, the United States has chosen to prioritize profits over people. The Trump administration's attempt to force people to return to work on a large scale depends on restarting physical schools so parents have children in Los Angeles in school. This means increasing risk, especially in black and brown working communities, where people are more likely to have essential jobs, insufficient health care, higher levels of pre-existing health conditions, and to live in crowded housing. Meanwhile, it continues, and I just want to finish this thought here. The reward of economic recovery accrues largely to white and well-off communities that have been largely shielded from the worst of the pandemic's effects. Now, that's some stinking thinking for a couple reasons, folks. One of the wealthiest areas in the United States is New York City. And look at what happened there, however it happened there. Oh, and by the way, for those of you out there that are saying I'm trying to link 5G to COVID-19, I've never said that. I said the effects, the health issues that manifest from 5G and zinc deficiencies and many other ailments are identical to what they're identifying for COVID-19. That's what I said. So I'm telling you, this LA teacher union statement, it's a leftist manifesto, and it's an indication of what our education system has become. Folks, what's going on? How about this blast in Beirut? What's that all about? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, as a PhD chemist, that ammonium nitrate is nothing more than an inert salt, and it cannot react, let alone explode. It's water soluble. For it to become anything, and what they're referring to as an amphobomb, what they claimed blew up the Oklahoma City federal building, to be mixed with 6% of a liquid fuel source like kerosene or diesel fuel, then it becomes a bomb. You still have to ignite it. But the mainstream media is not telling you that. Listen to this report from Vice.com. Conspiracy theorists adamantly insist Beirut explosion was a nuke. Well, it wasn't. And then it goes on to explain why. And Jeffrey Lewis, the director of the East Asian Non-Proliferation Project, claims that it couldn't have been because of the color of the fire before and after. Kaboom! That's what he says. Those are his own words in a quote. So this area caught on fire by a nearby nitrate warehouse. Well, again, folks, that material is inert until it's mixed with a fuel source. And it was confiscated a long time ago. But then everybody forgets that just 2 years ago, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu warned that there was a Hezbollah missile site, production facility, I should say, in downtown Beirut, in a warehouse that happens to be near or in the exact location of this explosion on Tuesday. Now, here's some resurfaced footage from a talk he gave in 2018 to the UN. It was a speech, and he stressed that Hezbollah was using the locals as human shields. I want you to hear this for yourself. I have to download this before this goes down the memory hole, but listen to this.
Hezbollah. Listen to this. Hezbollah is deliberately using the innocent people of Beirut as human shields. They've placed three of these missile conversion sites along Beirut's international airport.
Did you hear that?
Here's a picture that's worth 1,000 missiles. Here's Beirut's international airport. Here's the first missile site. It's in the Uzay neighborhood, on the water's edge, a few blocks away from the runway. Here's the second site. It's underneath a soccer stadium. That's the soccer stadium. Two blocks away. And here's the third site. It's adjacent to the airport itself, right next to it.
These things are so strange you can't make them up, folks. He was pointing at a diagram. Target one was the exact site of the explosion from all the videos we've seen. And he spoke this at the UN 2 years ago. So here's a serious question. If this is true, which it is, you just heard it, then why is President Trump maligned when he says that this was an attack? The mainstream media just went crazy on him. It sure looks like an attack. And then why are they referring to it as an ammonium nitrate explosion when I just explained to you that ammonium nitrate's nothing but an inert water-soluble salt that has to be mixed with a fuel source at 6%, so diesel fuel, kerosene, something like that, to become a viable explosive? Could it be, I'm just throwing this out, that the mainstream media is controlled by Zog, Z-O-G? So what's Zog? Never heard of Zog? Well, it's just another way to say the deep state, the swamp, the Zionist-occupied government. Jared, good old Jared, advisor to President Trump, is deep in, as his wife is, with the Zionists. And I know, before you start calling me an anti-Semite, I've just crossed a line, but I'm not an anti-Semite, folks. What do you mean when you talk about Zionism? You talking about politics? You talking about religion? You talking about ethnicity? Let's make that clear before you call me an anti-Semite. I'm talking about politics, and there are Zionistic politics. Study it, folks, and you'll see what I'm talking about. And then Bill Gates tells us we have no choice. Did you know that this guy, Bill Gates, along with Stephen Hawking, were both on Epstein's sex island in the Caribbean? Folks, this stuff's absurd. I can't make it up. It's stranger than fiction. You just can't make it up. And by the way, folks, remember that we always have a choice. And this situation we're in right now in 2020 isn't binary. It isn't a yes or no. It's not yes to health and no to the economy. It's not yes to our culture and safety and following the government mandates, or no, and you're some kind of renegade. It's not yes to the establishment or no to health and safety. It isn't. It really isn't. We have alternatives, and they work. But we've got to keep moving here. I could go on and on with all this stuff. Now it's time for our Back to the Future update. Folks, in this episode of Back to the Future, we're going to dig into the deep, dark, dusty archives of the occult. And we're going to tie the hex sign, that occultic sign, to the all-seeing eye and everything in between, including the six-sided star. Now, these hex signs, or hexenfus, as they're called in old German Dutch, they're round magical signs, symbols that have become so quaint and cute by the Pennsylvania Dutch. Like, oh, they just don't have anything wrong with them. Pennsylvania Dutch with their apple pies and all their nostalgia. Folks, this is witchcraft, and it's used to protect against other forms of witchcraft and spells. The occults believe that these hex signs have all sorts of amuletic and talismanic traditions behind them. You know, they're the things painted on barns and stables and even houses to protect against lightning and to ensure fertility of both the animals and the humans being protected. And they don't want to become what they call bewitched or verhext. That's what they call it. So they even put it on their baby cradles and kitchen utensils. Now, each hex sign has a different meaning. And so back to the Bronze Age. And they include, get this, the swastika, also known as the solar wheel. Folks, Hitler didn't invent the swastika. It's an ancient symbol of the occult of the sun. It goes back. The ancient Cretes had it. It goes way, way back. Now, Madame Blavatsky introduced this back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, and she's the founder of Lucifer magazine that became the Lucis Trust. Now, these designs, the most common, are all based on stars of 5, 6, or 8 points, and they're all put in a circle. Now, the five-pointed star in a circle. Isn't that Baphomet, the goat head? Used by the Satanists. Yeah, that's it, the Satanists. So let's see what the word hex means. It means to bewitch, to practice witchcraft, to place a spell or a charm. Galatians 3, verse 1 reads, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? So this word bewitched in the Testament there is baskeno, which means to be hypnotized, you know, put under a spell, beguiled like Eve was in the garden by the serpent. Folks, it's a power of evil, like a snake that looks into the eyes of the rat, makes it immobile before it strikes. And then that rat becomes easy prey for that snake, just like people do. For the Democrats, with their controlled Zog-controlled mainstream media. And then it strikes and it devours its victim. So what's this all-seeing eye have to do with all this? You know, Jay-Z with the triangle over his eye, Jim Carrey on late-night TV mocking it. What's up with that? Is there something behind it all? How about all these famous people that do that triangle eye symbol? What's that have to do with anything? Well, before we get into that, I want to talk about the six-pointed star, okay? Let's look at the six-pointed star. Now, everybody associates the six-pointed star, Judaism. Isn't that what it is? The Star of David? Well, Dr. O.J. Graham wrote a book about it and tells us about his journey into this rabbit hole. And boy, this is untouchable. Back when I used to do a show with John, we couldn't talk about this. It makes me go, why couldn't I talk about it with John? Why wouldn't John let me talk about it? I don't know. But the six-pointed star that everybody calls the Star of David has a very strange history. Now, this Dr. Graham's journey began back in York University when he was up in Ontario, Canada, and he had an Orthodox Jewish friend of his who was investigating Messianic Judaism, or those Jews who turned Christian. And they had an intellectual conversation about so many topics, and they covered the Star of David in one of their discussions, which he told his friend, Dr. Graham, that it wasn't actually a symbol God gave to the children of Israel, because he gave them the seven-branched menorah. So what was it? Well, being a journalist, this guy challenged Dr. Graham to explore the six-pointed star. So that's exactly what Dr. Graham did. He wanted to prove its Jewishness. But guess what happened? The exact opposite. Just like when I started my truth quest 30 years ago. Now, he went back to the summer of 79, a few years before I began my truth quest. And he was searching for the Jewishness of this six-pointed star. And he went into old history books and Jewish encyclopedias, and he discovered that it wasn't originally Jewish. And it wasn't a symbol used by the 12 tribes. In fact, the Jewish sources said it wasn't Jewish. So it took him 4 years of research, from archive to archive, library to library, history book to history book. And the first mention of the star was in Amos 5:26, and that was a trek from Egypt to Canaan. Then in 922 BC, when Solomon married the daughter of Pharaoh and went into magic and witchcraft, and he built the altar in Ashtaroth to Moloch, you know, this is in the books there, traces of the six-pointed star can be tied to Egypt. And to Solomon, then, through this, And there's also a link to Arab magic and witchcraft and druids. So what's this have to do with Jews? Well, his study traces it through all of these occult backgrounds, all the way up to Freemasonry. And a dude named Mayor Amsel Bauer, who in the 17th century changed his name to Rothschild and put this six-pointed star on his family shield and became known as the Red Shield or the Rothschild Shield. Now, I don't have to tell you who the Rothschilds are you? Do I? And then there's a tie to Kabbalah and astrology and even Hitler, who put these yellow six-pointed stars on all Jews under his control during the quote-unquote Holocaust. It's a Zionistic symbol, folks. Now it's a flag. It's a symbol on the flag of the state of Israel, Zog. And because of these 6 points, six sides, six triangles, 666. Remember the book of Daniel and the prophecies? The Antichrist, the mark of the beast. Folks, this all has significance to these end times right now. So this guy, Dr. Graham, started out to defend the symbol, and what did he end up? Shocked, devastated. These are his words. With the evidence gleaned from academia that this wasn't a Hebrew symbol. This wasn't a symbol of the 12 tribes. It was a symbol of Zionism. So like I asked earlier, when you say Zionism, are you talking about politics? Are you talking about religion? Or are you talking about ethnicity? And now, for how this all ties in to current events, listen to this clip from last Sunday's Sunday morning episode on the CBS symbol, you know, the all-seeing eye. Listen to this. I just took a couple sections out of it. It's about 2 minutes long.
As most of our viewers know, here at CBS, the eyes have it. And all those CBS eyes have long had a beloved champion. With Lee Cowan, we pay him a visit.
CBS presents this program in color.
Not everything changes on TV.
You're CBS.
That eye has been staring out of our TV screens ever since 1951.
The inspiration was from an Amish hex sign that was on a barn in Pennsylvania. The all-seeing eye, which would protect them because it would be all-seeing.
Now, if you're wondering if there's a keeper of such memorabilia around here, well, there isn't. Not officially, anyway.
I'm making toast.
Which is where George Schweitzer comes in.
And it's better to be CBS toast than to be toast. Right? So,
if that sounds like a marketing slogan, that's because that's how Schweitzer made his living.
This was when we were promoting Hawaii 5-0.
Until this past spring, he was CBS's chairman of marketing. He helped launch 28 seasons of television shows.
And now, an important announcement from this network's new Late Show host.
I'm Dave, and I want to be your TV friend.
Including David Letterman's move from NBC over to CBS.
I check this now with the CBS attorneys, and legally I can continue to call myself Dave. So I'm
selling Letterman's sarcasm instead of being afraid of it worked wonders.
He was true to his brand. He was true to his brand. And that's what made Dave Dave, and that makes him so special.
Don't you think that CBS eye thing is kind of creepy?
Did you hear that? Letterman mocks it. Just like I said Jim Carrey did on one of the other late night shows. The eyes have it. That's how Jane Pauley opens this. And then the director of marketing for CBS admits that it was taken from the Pennsylvania Amish hex sign. And then they call it the all-seeing eye. You ever hear of the Amish mafia? Folks, this is serious stuff. I did my best to try to put it into a condensed form and show you the symbols that we embrace so willingly today are actually occultic in nature, with a very secret or hidden esoteric knowledge the exoteric understanding, the EXO, the exoteric understanding of these things are the exact opposite. Folks, we need to pray. We have to thwart the plans of the wicked one and his minion. Lord, Father, God, in the name of Jesus, the name above all names, the name that every knee should bow to and every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord. And by his blood and the work on the cross, we ask that you nullify and cancel out, make null and void every curse, every spell, every incantation upon the American people, everything and anything that these hounds of hell, these minions of Lucifer, these worshipers of Satan try to put on us and our country and our families, we bind and cast off in the name of Jesus. But Father, you offer a hedge of protection, just like you did for Job, Lord. We ask, and Hezekiah, we ask that you put around us these hedges of protection to protect us and our families. And Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus to send these curses and spells, this voodoo, this devilish garbage back to them a hundredfold over to show them who is in control. Plus, Father, take from their eyes these blinders, unplug their ears so they can become convicted as we learn what conviction means. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 say it all, that we need to come unto repentance and be born again. Father, we come against these principalities, these powers, these rulers of darkness, the spiritual wickedness in high places. We come against it all in the name of Jesus. For he is the one and only who defeated the enemy at the cross and said to us, Tetelestai, it is finished. Now, the prince of this world is defeated. Colossians 2 verse 15 says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he, that's Jesus, made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. We pray this all in Jesus' high and holy name. Amen. Is warfare. You're sending missiles, guided missiles, right at the enemy's den. Folks, there's a spiritual war going on right now between good and evil. And if you're a Christian and you're not in that battle, if you're not coming against these powers of darkness, however you may, then you're defeated and useless to the kingdom of God. I'm telling you that right now, you ought to just step over the fence that you're strapped up and join the enemy. Why? Because you're already in his clutches. So what about what God said through Micah in chapter 7, verses 2 and 3? The good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lay in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince Athos and the judge Athos for a reward, and the great man, he uttereth his mischievous desire. So they all wrap it up. Well, folks, it's time to look what's different in Micah's day and today. You know, back then, people thought, just like today, that there's not an honest person left in the land. No one remaining loyal to God. Everyone was waiting for a chance to commit murder and crime. Some even hunted down their own. People were cooperating to commit heinous crimes. And the judges and the leaders, they all took bribes. And the rulers, they cheated in court. And in a sense, that does sound like today. The day that we're living in right now. And yes, in a way it is, but there's something very different. We have the restraining power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verses 7 and 8, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. That's the Holy Spirit, folks. But if I depart, I will send him, that's the Holy Spirit, unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now, reprove, that means to convict, and that's where conviction comes in. So the Comforter, also known as the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Holy Trinity, he convicts the world of three truths. First, of sin, then of righteousness, and finally, of judgment. And then listen to John chapter 16, verses 9 and 11. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. And this is what I mentioned before, verse 11. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Cowards, they're just plain afraid of the truth. And sluggards, they're just too lazy to search out the truth. And then there's the know-it-alls. They're just too arrogant and proud to admit to the truth. Now, these three tremendous truths that I'm sharing with you today have to be in your life. You have to be convicted of sin, you have to be convicted of righteousness, and you have to be convicted of judgment. Otherwise, I'm going to say this, and you're not going to like to hear it. You're not born again. You're not truly saved. Now, the Holy Spirit, he's the agent, the person behind conviction to you and me of sin. John chapter 16, verse 9 says, of sin because they believe not on me. You know, the Bible teaches that we're sinners for three reasons. By our very nature, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3 says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. So folks, by our very nature, you heard it right there, as babies, we're children of wrath. Now, oftentimes we think we're wicked or evil because of what we do. No, we do these things because we're sinners, because we're evil and wicked. And Jesus said these things come out of our heart. So when you see a worm hole in an apple, okay, you got to understand that the worm ate its way out. It didn't eat its way in. So it was in there already. See, an egg was laid in the blossom when that apple blossom was just starting to grow. And then that worm developed out of that egg inside the apple as the apple grew. And then when the worm got big enough, it ate its way out, eat its way in. And that's the same way sin is. It's in us. It's an egg laid by our very conception. It's what we inherited from the first Adam. And as we grow, that latent wickedness grows. And it's in all of humanity. A man's a sinner because of what's inside him, not what's outside. Think about it like this. Take a crooked log out of the forest. I'm looking out my window now and I see lots of them. Take one of them to the sawmill, okay? It may look crooked. I could run it through the sawmill, and after a few cuts, at first glance, it looks square. But then walk to the edge. But walk to the edge of that log and look at the grain. It's still crooked on the inside. The Bible says the heart of man is deceitfully wicked. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Folks, we're all sinners. Not because of what we do. Now, sure, we sin and then we're a sinner, but because of what we are. Now, the evolutionists, they say we're getting. The environmentalists, they say we just need a better place to live. And the humanists, they say it's all relative. But the Bible says, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful by the time my mother conceived me. Psalm 51, verse 5. And this quote from Reb Bradley out of Biblical Insights into Child Training is very telling. Every baby starts life as a little savage. He is completely selfish and self-centered. He wants what he wants, his bottle, his mother's affection, his playmate's toys, his uncle's watch, or whatever. Deny him these and he sees with rage and aggressiveness, which would be murderous if he were not so helpless. He is dirty, he has no morals, no knowledge, and no developed skills. This means that all children, not just certain children, but all children are born delinquent. If permitted to continue in their self-centered world of infancy, given free sign to their impulsive actions to satisfy each one, every child would grow up a criminal, a killer, a thief, a rapist. Wow. Doesn't that sound like most people today? Now, granted, that is our nature, and we do need to be reborn. We need a heart transplant. But we also are sinners because of what we do. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So by our very nature, we're like a poisoned well. And what do the poisoned waters of a poisoned well do? Well, they don't bring life. They bring death. Some say, well, I don't commit murder. I don't commit adultery. I've never been angry, really, really angry at another. I haven't lusted at another woman. Well, that could be true. But you know what? Have you ever told a lie? Have you ever taken a pen from work? Can you honestly tell me that you never broke any of the Ten Commandments? Well, unless you can tell me that, and if you do, I'm going to tell you, you broke one. the one against lying, well, then the sin nature is in you. And we have to be changed. Okay? We have to have that heart transplant. Did you know that abortion used to mean miscarriage? Infanticide was used to define what we call today an abortion. Infanticide. Plus, did you know that the term fetus was used to describe the unborn child? But that term from Latin literally means child. Decided that abortion was too harsh. So they redefined it as pro-choice, and then further redefined it as reproductive choice, and then ultimately as reproductive freedom. Yet at the base of this is murder, murder of the unborn. That's what I mean by the things we do make us sinners. How about lust? Today it's called adult entertainment. Now, the Bible calls sexual immorality fornication, yet our culture calls it being sexually active. They call adultery having an affair, or even worse yet, a secondary relationship. Folks, sin is sin. And then they call a call girl, a woman selling herself, her sex, they call her a call girl. But the Bible calls her a whore, and the guys that go after her, whoremongers, playboys. How about homosexuality? Today, the world calls that being gay. Gay used to be a word that meant you were happy. Sodomy is now referred to as alternative lifestyle. It's as if God has several lifestyles and we just get to pick among them. No, folks, that's not the way it works. When God says don't do this or that, he's saying, I don't want you to get hurt. And when God says do these other things, he's saying, I want you to be blessed. Now, the Bible tells us through the very words of Jesus that the Holy Spirit came to convict us of sin because we didn't believe him. John chapter 16, verse 9 says, of sin because they believe not on me. And that's every one of us, folks. So the Holy Spirit of God convicts us. And that's what's different today than during the time of Micah. Part of God's salvation plan wasn't in effect yet. So the Holy Spirit would rest upon certain individuals. Now the Holy Spirit actually dwells in us. We are his vessels. But before I get into that, and we're probably going to talk more about that next week, we're also sinners because we believe not. So when you talk about sin, those who believe not say, well, everybody messes up. God certainly wouldn't send me to hell for that. Yes, folks, even one half of one sin that hasn't been covered by the blood will be paid for by you. You know, sin, any form of sin, even a white lie, is a clenched fist shaking in the face of God. It's someone not bowing their knee to him. It's treason in his kingdom. And you got to realize that and understand it. And that's why the Bible calls us all sinners. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit to come and convict us of that. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Does not believe is already condemned. So we're condemned not because of the sin, but because of our unbelief. So God knew that we needed the agency and power of the Holy Spirit to convict you and me as sinners for what we do, for what we don't do. And in particular, not believing on Jesus. And unbelief is the greatest of all sins. The parent sin that produces all other sin. Think about it. Unbelief is what caused Adam and Eve to sin, isn't it? Now, a courtroom, it may convict you or me of a crime. Your conscience may convict you of doing wrong. But only the Holy Spirit will convict you of sin. So when we truly understand what sin is and what it does to us for all eternity, then and only then, can we repent? And then and only then are we able to say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. So that's this conception of sin. And then what about righteousness? Well, the Holy Spirit will convict you and me of righteousness. And that's a process in the completion of our salvation. We need to become like him. But only the Holy Spirit can give us this. John chapter 16, verse 10 says, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. So the Holy Spirit, he comes to convict us of sin. He comes to convict us of righteousness. And he comes to convict us of judgment. Now, Jesus, he came here and showed us the way. He lived the perfect life. And if you think that you can live that perfect life, that's a big mistake, folks, because you can't. You know, this thing that says, what would Jesus do? Well, that's great, but you and I aren't Jesus. That's why we need the Holy Spirit in us. That's why we need the grace of God in us. You know, we may be ignorant of sin, but we're also ignorant of righteousness. The average guy, and a lot of Christians think, well, they're righteous because they did something good. And they don't think they're a sinner because they're not doing bad. But that's not true. You got to understand this in a more deeper sense. You need to be convicted of righteousness and then of judgment. And I'm going to pick this up next week, folks, provided the Lord's willing and we're still here. But just remember, in the words of Winston Churchill, okay, never give in.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
Never give in, folks. Never give in. I love y'all. Let's lift our hands up now and praise the Lord with Jeremy Camp and that same power.
We're living in a very defining time in our generation, where fear is creeping in and the uncertainty of the unknown is everywhere.
I can see what is raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk.
There's an urgency like never before in my heart to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. To show a world that looks like there is no hope, that in Jesus alone you will find that hope and peace. To stand up in the midst of adversity and tribulation, and to show the unconditional love of our Savior while not shying away from speaking the truth of God's Word. Cry out for change in our world, but many times we are left asking, how can I make a difference? What do I do next? The truth is, we can do nothing. In our own strength and our own power, we will fail. But Jesus himself said to the disciples, I leave with you my spirit. In Romans 8:11 it says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Let's step out in his power. Let's proclaim the name of Jesus in boldness and love. And when the attacks come from all sides, walk in the understanding that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Because the enemy has been defeated and the victory is in Jesus.